From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The band Spell Talk has been around since 07, though like most bands, they're evolving. They changed a name, changed a guitar player, and they're perfecting their sound. They first got people's attention with a psychedelic brand of rock. It was bluesy, droney was the word one of the band members used. But their latest songs are faster and simpler. They're said to be more raw, more gritty. For Spell Talk, it seems like the real test for whether a song is working is not in the studio, but when they play it live. The bassist Jared Phelps has said there's something spiritual that happens live. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music. Spell Talk will join us in the studio to talk about music, but mostly to play some. Also today, we'll review the best local albums of the year. So, we invite you to join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music. The band Spell Talk is here. It's a band whose popularity is growing, whose sound is evolving. They'll join us in a moment. First, though, since people tend to make best of lists this time of year, we thought we'd give some guidance for those of you thinking of the best local music, at least the best music around here, but that's what we mean by local, of course. So, by the way, if you have suggestions or comments, you can join us 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Gavin Sheehan is with us. He writes the entertainment blog Gavin's Underground. He's a contributor to both Slug magazine and The City Weekly, produces a podcast for Slug called Sound Waves from the Underground. Gavin, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Great. Austin Diamond is with us. He's the music editor for The City Weekly. He's joining us here as well. Austin, welcome.
Thank you, Doug.
So let me start by asking, to make an assessment of local music for the year, Gavin, I'll start with you. Good year for local music?
I would say exceptional year. The list is still
growing. You don't just always say this, right?
No. Not at all. But the list is still growing for it, but we've had about 250 releases this year.
Wow.
That kind of stretched across the board. I don't think one genre in particular held any like key ground. It was kind of a building year for everybody where they finally put out the one good album that they really wanted to put out. You know, Spell Talk is one of the bands that I would hold in that. The Suicycles, a lot of the Provo bands like The Moth and the Flame and Desert Noises did the same. We kind of have this nice eclectic mix that if you really want to get into like Utah music and find out what's really going on around here, this is the year to kind of look and see what we have.
Really? Wow. Austin, what did you make of the year?
You know, I think the biggest push came in the second half of the year. There's some really incredible albums that were coming out that came as sort of a surprise. I think that the first half we were kind of wondering what was going to happen and shake out. And some of the better releases came from so-called supergroups, a couple bands that came together sort of out of nowhere. And
you mean a mishmash of different groups?
Yeah, a mishmash of different groups.
The Dream Team.
One band that we'll talk about, the No Nation Orchestra, is one such. The Chickens, who I just saw last Friday, conglomeration of all of these talented musicians that sort of are really honing in on their musicianship and creating an articulate vision and something that's new and fresh as well. It's been a really invigorating year for me as a music journalist and plugging into the scene.
Do you guys judge this music any differently than bands that have, you know, national reputations or national names? I mean, is the standard the same, or do you think about it differently because it's a hometown sort of group and it's a hometown crowd, you know, responding to it?
If anything, I think we hold them to harder scrutiny.
Huh.
Because a national, they're going to get praise no matter what they do. Here, people kind of have to earn it and show that they're an actual band that wants to play here, and they're not just releasing an album to release an album like so many others do. So, you know, I think we kind of analyze more like what they want to do here. I don't know if that makes complete sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely does. I mean, your standard's higher. What for you too?
Well. I think that on a national sense, the bands that come through town are the best bands of Boise or Chicago or L.A. And so we see the best of the best. And being situated in Salt Lake City, we see everything. And so it's kind of a really interesting experience to watch bands come up and grow. And you see the scene nurture that. I don't know if I would say that I judge it on a different level. Like, why do we listen to music? We listen to music to connect emotionally or just have fun. And I think there are bands in Salt Lake that are doing that just as well as these bands that are coming from Chicago or New York. It's just a matter of shining a light on that. And that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. You guys see any trends in music or in styles? You mentioned, Gavin, it's kind of spanning a long spectrum, I suppose.
I would say the rise of Provo has really come about. And some people laugh at it and others don't really care for Provo, but you can't really deny that, like, first and foremost, the last three bands to get signed to major labels have all come from Provo. You have Fictionist, you have Joshua James, and you have Neon Trees most prominently. But their folk scene is really taking off, and they kind of did a few things like the rooftop concert series this year, where they highlighted the best of the best. Velour came into its own. The Death Star, before it went away, was a big metal and hardcore venue down there, not to mention Muse. They've kind of become their own scene in a way. They haven't quite set themselves apart yet, but, you know, that's the trend, is now the folk scene coming out of Utah County.
Are you seeing any trends?
Well, I agree with Gavin, and I think one of the reasons that is happening is because you have this sort of big brother effect. Like, if your brother's the quarterback and he gets all the girls, like, you want to be like your brother, right? And so you have these bands that
siblings.
They're trying to emulate what these other bands that are getting signed are doing. And so you have this really fun, energetic scene there. And I think something like that could take off in Salt Lake City. We saw a band called The Devil Whale. We had a big break opening for The Head and the Heart this year on two different tours, which is, by all means, is a great success. And I'm curious if they were going to get signed this year, and I think they might next year. And so I think if you have one band that gets signed, then that could be the trend of 2012 for Salt Lake music. I think another trend, Doug, would be the supergroup thing that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. One story that we're going to be running in the Salt Lake City Weekly on Thursday is this project called Operation Voltron Christmas. Voltron taken from the 90s anime cartoon, where you have all these musicians, 50 I think in total, from 10 different bands that came together to create a CD from that includes holiday music that's going to be donated. All the proceeds are going to be donated to the Road Home.
Wow.
And then you have the Eric Rich Ensemble.
Wait, like a Christmas album?
Yeah. And so you can find it on their Bandcamp site, and I think at Bar Deluxe as well. So that's kind of a heartwarming tale of all these folks coming together. And then you have, lastly, the Eric Rich Ensemble, a group of, God, who knows, several dozen people, it seems like, that are coming together. And Eric Rich is worth noting as another trend. I think the farmer's market this year has been an excellent incubator for local music. Like, we think of the farmer's market, the downtown farmer's market, as a place where you can learn about local products and, you know, things like Happy Monkey hummus. Then all of a sudden they're in Whole Foods, right? This year I came across the Folkadots, who you interviewed, and now they're everywhere. They're at square dances to the Kilby Court every other week. I ran into a band called Matteo, which does this like Chinese folk by way of Provo, and then also Eric Rich, who is known as the piano bike guy. He had a bike set up with a trailer so he could tote this bicycle or he could tote this piano around. And he plays gorgeous music, self-taught. And so now he's actually trying to branch away from the piano bike persona and create music with his ensemble. So
it was kind of a shtick. Now he's legit. And he's moving away from it.
Right.
Maybe that's good. Or maybe not so good.
Another super group, real great. Quick, the Poor Wills. Yeah. Can't forget them. They did some good work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go through. So I don't know if we have time to go through your top 10 lists, but let's do at least five. Gavin, I want to start with you. I'm looking at your group. Where shall we start?
We can start wherever you'd like, Doug. That's a top 10.
The Nums. No. Top Dead Celebrity?
Top Dead Celebrity are a band that's fronted by Jeff Anderson, who used to be a part of Thunderfist, or I guess he still is. He basically broke out on his own, incorporated a few other members from the band. He brought Andy Patterson, producer and drummer extraordinaire, on board, and basically made a real hard rock album that wasn't too hard rock for the masses. We get a lot of metalheads in Utah who take music and they have to bump it up to a little bit more of an extreme.
Yeah.
This was just straight up, you know, hard guitar, hard drums, decent solos that weren't like over the top, and just, you know, just a gritty album that you could dig into.
I said the Numbs. The Numbs is another one on your top 10 list.
Yeah, they had been, I guess, 5-6 years now, Austin. They hadn't really had done anything. They kind of splintered off and did their own things. Mark Dago most prominently has had 2 albums out. But they finally came together about a year ago and decided to start putting stuff together, and they put out one of the best hip-hop albums of the year. Hmm. And that's impressive for a 5-year stint of not doing anything together.
Let me ask about No Nation, the No Nation Orchestra. That's one of yours, Gavin. It's one of yours, Austin. You're top almost anyway, at least one of the ones that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I wanted to talk about the song. It's so hard, I think, for music critics to list them in order, let alone create a top 10 list.
Yeah, no.
It's so exclusive, and I think part of being a music critic is you get to be inclusive. But that album, I think it just creates this really unique
The album
sound.
Is More, More, More. Right?
More, More, More. Yeah. It's an EP, 5-song EP that came out several months back. And Stephen Chai was a member of Laserfang, a dance rock group that always sells out whenever they play. And that band went on hiatus. And so Stephen had the opportunity to bring some of these songs that he's been tinkering with in his room to the forefront. And he has a huge array of folks that helped record this album. And it has this interesting synergy of like the Talking Heads without the weirdness, Fela Kuti with this absolute hipster vibe, and Prince minus the leotards. it's super dancey.
Yeah.
Seeing them live is a whole lot of fun because you have this 12 people making music up there, and people really connect to it. And it's something that I don't often see when I go out to concerts in Salt Lake from Salt Lake bands.
Any way to set it up, or should we just play it? This is we're going to play an excerpt. It's the title track, I guess, right? More, More, More.
Right. Well, I'd say just off the get-go, it has this incredibly warm tone that slowly builds and becomes fuller, and then you'll hear the horns come in, and then it becomes brighter and then more richly syncopated. And then I don't know if we'll get through the whole song, but it has this like really beautiful breakdown in the end, if listeners can find it and enjoy it.
More, More, More from No Nation Orchestra. What are they like live, this band?
Completely engaging.
Yeah?
Yeah. They own the stage.
You get a sense it might be just a studio piece, but it's not. It's the experience is live, too.
Yeah, and yeah. I think the more they play live, the better it gets. The first time that they played at the Urban Lounge, the sound guy didn't know what to do with a dozen people. And then so now that they're playing more and more and they're opening for bands, the sound is becoming more fully fleshed in the live setting.
So you've mentioned them a few times, Gavin, already. Suicycles.
Yeah, we talked about them, I think, at the beginning of the year. Yeah, they've kind of been the story band. They've had the most releases, 2 EPs, did a full length in the summer, had 2 music videos. They've played half the major festivals in the state, including the Big Ass show that happened a couple months ago.
Yeah.
They are, if not, like, just shy of Spell Talk being the high-profile band of Salt Lake City at the moment.
The album is Sex, Drugs, and Death, and the cut you wanted us to talk about was Speaking in Tongues.
Mm.
Why?
It's kind of become their signature song. When they started out, it kind of felt like they were, or Camden Chamberlain specifically, was trying to get away from his prior band, which we won't bring up because he prefers not to. But the like he was trying to find a harder edge to the electronica that he was doing, and he was he kind of brought in, I would say more of the harder edge with it, with a new guitarist and louder drum set, and he also had brought in kind of the keyboards that he had had from the prior band and meshed the two together, and it creates this little like beautiful little rock piece that you have now.
Great, here it is. It's Speaking in Tongues for the Suicycles. The Suicycles at Speaking in Tongues from Sex, Drugs, and Death. That's your number two album, Gavin. Number one was Sub Rosa?
Sub Rosa, yes. And they've kind of become the number one band that's been talked about, and it's kind of a shame that they're not together at the moment. But they had reached, was it Decibel and who else? They were on their top 40 list.
Yeah, like they reached 20 on both lists.
Yeah, they were one of the few bands in Utah to make national magazines with their album, and it's just this glorious piece of drudge, goth rock kind of material.
I love the word glorious there. That's beautiful. Austin, just mention one more. And we've got a huge list, but we're pretty much out of time. So one more that you wanted to – The Moth and the Flame was one that you had talked about as well.
Yeah, I think the two Provo bands worth mentioning would be The Moth and the Flame. They have this album that came out, debut album, self-titled, and it's just ambient rich and lush, and these nine songs kind of offer a dark and brooding feel to the synthy sort of Radiohead-esque feel as well, and they have like a very artsy vibe to the sound and to the whole package. I think they're presenting themselves in that way. Their first video, Goodbye, will be coming out early 2012, and it includes these huge giants that they made, which actually filled the lobby of Velour for their CD release show.
Wow.
The CD release show was so popular, it sold out well in advance. They had a second show for all the folks that couldn't make the first. And this is something that like doesn't happen in Salt Lake ever. There's a lot of energy. The band, that night, the CD release night, the band played the tracks in order. It's just incredible. Like, it just rolls out, and they fit together fairly seamlessly.
It's Austin Diamond, music editor for the City Weekly. Gavin Sheehan writes the entertainment blog Gavin's Underground, also contributing writer to Slug and the City Weekly. He also does a podcast for Slug called Soundways from the Underground. And we'll put a list, by the way, or put a link anyway to their lists on our website. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Doug.
So when we get back from a break, Spell Talk is here. They're going to talk about their music, mostly just play it, though. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music with the band Spell Talk with us. It's another one of those groups that's found a following, even though it's still feeling its way musically. They're joining us here in the studio today to talk about their music and to play some of it. The members are Andrew Milne on lead guitar and vocals. And Andrew, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Doug.
Elle Rasmussen is with us on guitar and vocals. Elle, welcome to you.
Hello, thank you.
Hi, Jared Phelps with us on bass and vocals. Jared, welcome.
Thank you.
Sammy Harper is on drums, and he's joining us. And Sammy, welcome. He's giving us the peace sign. And Billy the dog. Where's Billy the dog? He's with Lewis. Okay. Well, he's in the studio. It's their roadie. We had to mention that. They're playing a gig we should mention next week on December 30th. We'll give you the details about that as we go along. Well, let me start by asking you. So you guys formed in 2007. You were in Ogden at the time, if I'm correct. Is
yes,
that right?
That is correct.
So what? How did it work? Did you start playing together? Did you start? I mean, you know, how did you begin?
Well, we used to jam together before that in a basement. We all got a house and we jammed, and then we all kind of split up, and then we got back together. And one of my ex girlfriends let us jam in her basement, and that's
it sounds like such a story. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good detail with it.
But right, of course. I mean, well, I think it's you who had said that there was something really kind of eerie about that basement, something kind of cool. There was a cool vibe to it or something?
Yeah. And then we moved to another basement, and it was the same thing. I mean, it was just, it was really awesome to be in Ogden and be a part of that.
What do you think was the influence of Ogden? I mean, did you feel like Ogden musicians, do you think that had a kind of character for the music that you were playing in those days, Andrew?
Definitely. Ogden definitely had a big part in the way our band started and the kind of music we wanted to play and stuff like that. Ogden's kind of known for its blues scene.
Yeah.
And we were quick to jump on that and take advantage of it.
What do you figure, we'll be talking about this as we go, how your music is kind of evolving. What do you figure is the music that influenced you most, if there is a piece, or is there, you know, for a lot of musicians, it's just a lot of different things. What about you, Elle?
I grew up on blues and old folk tunes, so like Hank Williams.
Wow.
And, you know, we listen to blues. I think blues is our biggest influence. Everybody can relate to the blues.
Yeah, you too?
Especially in Ogden.
I'm really into 60s and 70s rock and roll, like the Stones and the Beatles and Yardbirds and all that kind of stuff. Just that really strikes home with me.
Yeah, and I'm really into stuff like The Seeds and Creedence Clearwater and stuff like that.
Wow.
Good stuff.
You guys are all over the place. That's great. Well, let me ask you about, I want to have you play, there's a song called Can't Keep on your new album.
Touch It.
Touch It, yeah. We should say that a lot. Touch It, with an exclamation point. Talk about the lyrics. How important are the words for you guys in comparison to the music? You know, I mean, for some people it's a story. It has a narrative. For some people, it's just a jumping off point. How do you guys see it, if you see it in one particular way?
Well, when we first started songwriting, I found myself kind of like making up lyrics, maybe like pretending like I was doing something or something like that, you know, which puts you where you get when doing that. But more recently, we found pleasure in writing songs about like a crazy night or taking a crazy car ride up to Park City or something and going having fun up there, like something that we know, you know, and there's like, oh yeah, and then there was that, and then it's like, then you got a song about something crazy that happened and you know all about it and stuff. So
Can't Keep, where did that come from?
That just comes from, you know, struggling financially and stuff like that, and still having a lot of fun with your buddies and getting through it, and We've been traveling a bit and stuff like that, and so make mention of that, you know, being in the van, having fun and stuff. So
yeah, you say you can't keep any money, and you can't please everybody, and you can't sleep because you're thinking about it.
Yeah,
I think everyone, especially in the past few years, has felt that feeling before. And we were in the kitchen one day, Andrew and I, and just talking about life and jamming like we always do, and that's usually how songs come up lately. They just kind of come out of the sky. You're like, that's good. And so we did. Andrew, I think, said, you can't keep any money, and I said, and you can't please everybody. And you know, that's how things evolve for us, because we've been experiencing them and we can share it. In a way, it's a message to people, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we understand too.
Great. Well, here it is. This is the song Can't Keep. It's from the album Touch It. This is Spell Top.
You can't keep any money, and you can't please everybody, and you can't slay, 'cause you're thinking about it. I know. I know. Pulling to the spot, we got somewhere to go.
That's Spell Talk. It's the from the album Touch It That's Can't Keep. How do you this new album has been described as, I'm wondering what you're making of what you're reading about people are saying about it. Like, if this is a completely new direction in some ways, that it's, you know, more stripped down, it's not quite as psych rock as you as the stuff you were playing in the past. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. We did spend some time trying to figure out psychedelic rock things and stuff like that, and try to make songs that were not confusing but just overloaded with, you know, craziness. And so we've just about started walking the complete opposite direction with this stuff, and we've ended up with simple, easy things that are just a lot of fun to play and a lot of fun to be a part of, and hopefully a lot of fun to hear.
Yeah. Did you worry about that when you were like, we're headed that way now? Did that freak you out a little?
Yeah, it seemed like we stopped looking at the ground and we looked up and we're like, wait a minute, let's figure this out, you know?
We
did have a few of the songs that were in that direction, you know, that poppier direction, and we noticed the crowd was going wild for that stuff. Yeah. So we're like, let's play more stuff like that instead of the droney stuff where they just stand there and look at us. And
yeah, that seems important to you. Your relationship with the crowd.
Yeah.
You feed off them, I guess
we feed off each other, and when they get going, we get going, and it's just a big, big fun party.
What has the influence of L been on all of that, on that new direction? Is she, and I'll have you speak for yourself, L, in a minute, but Andrew, what do you think? I mean, what's the influence been?
Well, I love playing with L in the sense that she's such a simple player, and it's exactly what we need, and she really fits the bill and brings a full sound to the band, which is what we're looking for, versus something that, you know, could be more confusing or something like that. And so Elle started playing with us not long ago, like 6 months, right? Something. Beginning of the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
She skipped a trip to Paris to stay here with us and play in the band. And so in that time, we've been able to go to New York and have the album release. And now we're just still working forward.
Say something about that, Al. You turned down a trip to Paris or a job in Paris or something.
Yeah. I did get a job once. I turned it down to play rock and roll because I think that we might all kind of feel like this has been a long time coming. We've known each other for quite a while and had our time apart. And when we came back together and I came back into this country, the wonderful state of Utah, I went directly to see Jared, and I said, let's make music. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be invited to a Spell Talk practice, and it's evolved from there. And our sound has changed. I think it was just so natural that the change wasn't necessarily a conscious one that we all made. It just happened.
We also started a little side project band called Debbie and the Diamonds.
Right.
And Elle was a soul writer in that band. I mean, she's soul writer in Spell Talk, but that's kind of where that poppy music came from, and her folk background, and it was just really fun. And then we had her come play in Spell Talk.
That's like you found your voice in some ways.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Candyland. What? How did that? Where did that come from? That just was it the image? Was it a sound? Was it a lyric? Where did Candyland come from?
We have a friend that plays in another band called Max Payne and the Groovies, and our friend Shane Max Payne, we sometimes call him Candy Payne, and I don't know, it just kind of reminds us of him, stuff like that, and it's a pretty simple jingy song, and it's fun for us to play, but yeah, it's kind of for him.
Great.
Love candy.
Okay, that's good.
We love candy.
Here it is, Candyland from Spell Talk.
Thank you.
It's a song, Candyland, from the band Spell Talk. It's from their new album, Touch It. So it seems like, Andrew, that for a lot of these songs, it's like a friend or a thing that you did. So talk about 66, because that was it a car?
Yeah, it was a Ford Sam.
Four sixty six LTD. All right,
yeah.
It was a
LeBaron. Yeah. Anyway, Sam, we're like, hey, Sam, what'd you do yesterday? It was Sunday, and he's like, well, Roxy picked me up in her 66, and we drove up to Park City, and it was an awesome time, blaring tunes, and got up there, and I guess they had lunch and
gangster rap, by the way.
Gangster rap on the way up. Okay. And we just ate it up. We had this new pretty. Kind of grungy song we wanted to throw it to. We're like, we can make that work. So that's kind of where that came from, is Sam's car ride up to Park City in the 66.
Yeah. I think the image is important on this song. Kind of have a picture in your mind, and you're just cruising with your friends, and you know. It's almost like the time continuum right now. It feels like it's speeding up to me anyways, and this song is like, hitting the highway.
Good. Well, do it. This is 66 from Spell Talk, the album Touch It.
It's for you, Roxanne.
Spell Talk, that is from the new album. It's called Touch It. And Spell Talk is Andrew Milne on lead guitar and vocals, L. Rasmussen on guitar and vocals, Jared Phelps on bass and vocals, and Sammy Harper on drums. The album, again, Touch It. And Spell Talk is playing, we should say, next week, December 30th, at the Urban Lounge. You can learn more about that event and listen to their music by going to our website, KUER.org/Radio West. We'll take another break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music. The band Spell Talk is with us. Andrew Milne, L. Rasmussen, Jared Phelps, and Sammy Harper. They're playing a concert next week, December 30th, at the Urban Lounge. We'll give you more details about that as we go. Their new album is called Touch It. So, There She Goes. Talk about There She Goes. Somebody mentioned this was an example of candy rock. It's sort of how you think about your music in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. This song's kind of a darker, slower, more like a swagger, midnight swagger kind of song. And Yeah, it's just, it basically describes being next to some woman who's told you something and then left you with some sort of message to be interpreted however you like.
How did, is this, it seems like it's really collaborative for you. You start with an idea or an image and you start working it out. Is that what happened with this one too?
Definitely, yeah. We definitely will be at practice and we'll come up with some sort of jam that's just a, I don't know, sometimes just a couple seconds long, and then we'll now do a chorus, and then it's like, okay, what's happened that's been cool in the last couple of days, and throw some recent story to
nice.
It, slap it, cut it, call it good.
Yeah, good. All right, well, here it is. There she goes. There she goes from Spell Talk. So how long ago did you write this piece? It's not on your album, right, is it? So yeah, plenty of stuff for the next one.
Probably about a month ago, I would say.
Yeah, right after the album came out, and like we all finally had a chance to exhale.
Yeah.
We had like four songs that came out real quick, so we were lucky to get that.
Talk about Willie. This is for a friend of yours.
Yeah, one of our best buddies, Willie, we became really close to him over the summer, and he had to go to jail. And
unjustly.
Yeah. And we just really miss him, so we wrote a song about him, and we hope he's listening because we love him.
I hope he is too. This is Spell Talk. Willie is the name of the song. It's band Spell Talk, the song Willie. Do you you guys have a philosophy for music? Jared, do you have a philosophy for music?
Spell Talk.
Yeah, I do. I really like simplicity as far as the way we write.
Simpler the better.
Yep.
Not that it's not challenging.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of hard to keep it really simple, but that's been my kind of my thing since we started. Keep it simple, keep it simple.
Mine's so. Fun, if my point matters.
It does matter, Sammy, and Sammy's is fun. Okay, so how do you measure success? Andrew, like, what would success be for the band? I mean, you're thinking you're getting more attention, clearly, and making some money wouldn't hurt, but how do you measure success?
I don't know, just feeling purpose, feeling like there's some sort of purpose to what we're doing, and it feels bigger than us all the time, and it feels good to be a part of what's going on in Salt Lake City's music scene. And it feels good to see it grow the way that it has in the years that we've been here in Salt Lake. And I don't know, I guess that's how I'd measure it.
Yeah. Elle, what about you?
I'd say that the measurement for success for us would be how well we're getting along and working together and creating and inspiring each other, but also supporting other local musicians and you know, keeping the fire going in Salt Lake that, like we heard earlier, it's such a wonderful year for music. So we're really lucky to be a part of it.
All right. I want to have you finally play another piece from Touch It. This is called Dirty Girls. It's kind of a sing-along in some ways, Jared, with the crowd?
Yeah, it is. The crowd really goes wild with this one, and it's fun because I get to throw the mic out there, and they just have, you know, they have fun with it.
Great. All right. Well, let me say this is Spell Talk. Andrew Milne, L. Rasmussen, Jared Phelps, Sammy Harper, not to forget Billy the Dog, the roadie, of course. Spell Talk is playing a gig next week, December 30th at the Urban Lounge. You can get more details about that and about their album called Touch It on our website, KUER.org/Radio West. Let me mention our technical directors, Mike Anderson. Our thanks to Gary Tournier today. Louis Downey is our sound engineer. The program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. Here it is, Dirty Girls, Spell Talk.